Well, joyful Christmas to you. You all, or at least most of you, look really beautiful. Thank you, worship team. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, what we call the Nativity of Jesus. That comes from the Latin word, which really just means birth story. This is Jesus' birth story. Not the story of any old historical figure, right? Jesus was not just a teacher or a prophet or the founder of a religion. He is the Son of the Most High God, the Son of the Most High God in flesh. Hebrews 1:3 that we've been looking at all Advent says that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God the Son, born as a baby, the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus is in the flesh, radiating the fullness of God's divinity, the very image of the invisible God, the exact imprint of the Most High God. Now that's hard to grasp, hard to understand, right? That somehow a human could be the radiance of God's glory, that somehow a baby born in a manger could be the exact imprint of the very nature of God. And so, kids, I need your help to explain this and to put this into something that we can grasp. And so I want to invite the teen helpers and the kids, gather up front here around these four tables. Yes, that means you stand up right now, Christmas Eve, all your pretty red dresses. You're going to gather around, pick a table. There's ornaments set out at each table in little slips of paper. You're going to grab an ornament. There's four different kinds. You can quickly pick the one that you think you want. Find yourself a piece of paper. And what you're going to do is you're going to cover the ornament with the paper and you're going to rub it with a crayon. You need to hold it tightly down on top of the ornament and rub it with a crayon. Can we get, do we have somebody over for this table over here? Lachelle, thank you so much. We can squeeze everybody in. There should be plenty of paper and plenty of ornaments. And as you rub the side with the crayon, you are going to see an imprint, a rubbing of that ornament. If you play your cards right, you should have plenty of room to do both sides of the ornament. And I will tell you, one side has the names of our Savior Jesus, reminding us of how he is the imprint of God's nature. Some of them say Redeemer or Emmanuel, which means God with us. Some of the ornaments say Savior or King of Kings or Prince of Peace. Now, the other side of the ornament, if you do both sides, you'll notice has like a carved image of some of the characters from the nativity scene. One of them has angels, one of them has the three wise men, one of them has Mary and Joseph, and one of them has the shepherds. Now, you really got to hold your paper tight across if you're going to do the image with the characters drawn, because it's a little puffier. And you really got to hold that paper tight to get the imprint. Now, I will tell you while they're doing this that in the Greek, the word imprint, the idea that Jesus is the exact imprint, actually refers to wood carving tools. That somehow God, the nature of God, was carved into the Son Jesus. But I kind of thought I'd get some flack from the parents if I laid out wood carving tools and blocks of oak up here. So we're doing paper and crayons instead. So please make sure everybody gets a turn. Once you've finished your imprint, once you've finished your rubbing and you've done both sides, you can go ahead, grab the ornament. They're yours. Grab your paper. Take it back to your seat. And as you go back to your seat, I want you to hold them up so people can see the image in one hand and the imprint in the other. Now, as some of them are beginning to walk back, you may say, well, wait a minute. Some of those edges are a little fuzzy. It's a little blurry. Hold them up. You may not be able to exactly see the image, right? And kids, some of you are doing a really good job. In fact, you're taking a very long time, and we're going to have to wrap this up. But no matter how long you take, right, it's going to be an imperfect imprint. The Bible says that Jesus was the perfect, the exact imprint of the nature of God. And so think about that. Just as your paper, make sure you take the ornaments with them as well, because you're going to need the ornaments back at your seat, and those are yours to put on the seat, to put on your tree later. And we're going to unpack tonight, what does it mean that Jesus was the exact imprint of God? If that is true, and it is true, how does that affect us? How does God in heaven, imprinted on Jesus the Son born, how does that impact our lives? And to understand that, I want to look at each of the key characters from the nativity story. Because Jesus said that whoever has seen me has seen the Father. He has said, I'm the exact imprint, right? Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And so even though some of those papers you took back might be a little blurry, right? You can get a sense, right? And the words actually come through very clear. You'll see Redeemer, you'll see Emmanuel, you'll see Savior. And Jesus said, looking at me is seeing the Father. And as we look at the nativity story tonight, I want to look at the key characters. Kids, on one side of your ornament is all the characters from the story. Some of you have Mary and Joseph. Some of you have the angels. Some of you have the shepherds. And some of you have the wise men. And by the way, we got plenty of ornaments, so after service, come grab one for your tree so that we don't have to clean them up. I want to go step by step. So kids, if you have the ornament with Mary and Joseph, would you hold that up for me? If you have the image of Mary and Joseph, hold that up, all right? Let's start with Mary, right? She is central to this story. And as Jesus, the imprint of God, the Son of the Most High, meets Mary, here's the impact he has. We see in Mary humble service. We see the humble service. Mary, a peasant girl from a little town called Nazareth, an insignificant town. It was in the northern region of Israel. And she was betrothed, which means she was legally engaged to be married to Joseph. This legal arrangement that happened before the marriage ceremony. Mary was probably leading a quite normal life, probably expecting her life with Joseph to be average and normal. But all that changed when the angel appeared. We read that earlier in Luke's gospel. An angel appears and explains that Mary's going to give birth to a son. The angel says in Luke 1, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary hears this and she's shocked, as anybody would be shocked. She's wondering, how in the world is this going to happen? I'm not a mom, I'm not even married. And the angel clarifies and says, look, the Holy Spirit is going to come and overshadow you. And reassures her, look, nothing is impossible with God. Now put yourself in Mary's position for a minute. Her world has literally been turned upside down. She's been asked to have faith and to walk in strength in a way that she couldn't even fully understand yet as the plan of God is going to unfold. She's afraid. She probably realizes in that moment, I'm going to be ridiculed for this pregnancy before I'm married. Think about it. She's trying to explain to her family, to the community. She would have no doubt been mocked, been ostracized. She's about to enter a life with more struggle and more hardship than she could have ever imagined. But rather than say to the angel what I may have said, you're crazy, or some of you more politely would have said, oh, no, thank you. Please choose someone else, right? This is not for me. The scriptures tell us that she responded to the angel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That humble service. Mary has this servant's heart. She submitted herself to God and was willing to serve him and carry this imprint of God, the Son of the Most High. Mary would fulfill her calling. And the question for us as we look at Mary, as we consider these things, is will you humble yourself? Will you humble yourself before Christ? Will you submit to his will for you? The Son of the Most High who came down for you, God in the flesh, God who came to earth to be with his people, Emmanuel, the Hebrew word meaning God with us. You have your own calling, but he will fill you. He will enable you to fulfill your calling as he has come down to you, will enable you to live in humble service. How about Joseph? You have the same ornament. Hold that up. If you have the one with Mary and Joseph, they're gathered around the manger. From Joseph, we learn faithful obedience. Joseph, a carpenter from the same town of Nazareth in Galilee, a rural, unimpressive region in Palestine. Joseph did have two things going for him. First of all, he managed to convince Mary to be his wife, and she proved to be a pretty amazing woman, right? The other thing that Joseph has going for him is that he's from the tribe of Judah, the tribe from God's people that the prophet said would produce the Messiah. In fact, Joseph could trace his lineage all the way back to the great King David. Joseph, we've said, is legally betrothed to Mary. He finds out that she's pregnant. And now this is a big problem, same for Mary as for him. He's an honorable man. He couldn't imagine marrying someone who's already pregnant out of wedlock. But because he's honorable, he doesn't want to shame Mary. He doesn't want to divorce her and make a spectacle. And so Joseph comes up with a plan to divorce Mary quietly and put her aside quietly without causing a big fuss. But God intervenes. God intervenes, and an angel appears to him in a dream and says this in Matthew 1:20. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God has mercy on Joseph and says, let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening. The Holy Spirit is at work here. And Joseph is reassured that what's happening to Mary is from God. It is part of the plan of God. And he is now called to marry Mary and raise her child as his own. This baby is the Son of God, will be the exact imprint of God's nature. He's told that his name will be Jesus, Yeshua, it would have been pronounced, which means the Lord saves. The very name of this child, the Lord saves. See, all people are bound to sin. All people need a rescuer. But now Joseph has a choice to make. Would he obey God? Would he choose his own reputation, or would he choose faithfulness to God? See, continuing with the marriage would have meant he'd never be looked at the same by his friends and neighbors. He'd be the man in the village that married the pregnant girl. That's going to impact his standing in the community. But Matthew's gospel said, as Joseph heard the voice of God through the angel and considered his calling, the scriptures say that he did just as he was commanded. He took Mary as his wife. He raised Jesus as his own. See, in Joseph, we see faithful obedience. We see that name of Jesus, the Lord saves, came to Joseph. The Son of God came down to him to save him, just as he has for you and I. See, we all need rescuing from sin, from the enemy of death, from the devil himself. And that baby would grow, would become a man. That child would live an obedient life, obedient to God, walking in love for others. The child would become a man who would one day die on a cross, would take the penalty for our sins, would rise from the dead, would give us new life now and on into eternity. Yeshua, the Lord saves. And now, through faith in him, he calls you, just as Joseph did, to walk in faithful obedience. And hear this, that doesn't mean obedience when it's easy, but obedience when it's hard. See, Joseph shows us that obeying the Lord must take priority over your own instincts, over your own reputation, even at times what you think is right. We walk in faithful obedience to the Lord, and so trust him. Trust him tonight. Trust Christ to rescue you, and then walk with him. Obey him as your Savior. What about the angels? The angels come up 5 different times in the nativity story. Who's got an ornament with angels on it? Hold that up so the people around you can see. Yeah, it looks like there's 3 little angels. There's many angels mentioned in the story. And they're a crucial part in Matthew, in Luke. Angels are these spectacular supernatural beings of light. Almost always people fall down and they're afraid. They were created by God to worship him, to protect humanity, to deliver messages, to battle against evil. As we read in the birth narratives tonight, their primary function in these stories is to serve as messengers. They bring messengers to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. And angels give us a glimpse into God's supernatural power all over the world. See, the heart of God is to communicate with his people. The heart of God is constantly at work. God is constantly involved in the affairs of humanity, and the angels show us that. They remind us that God guides his people, that God steers human history. Again and again, he intervenes in the course of things to bring about the birth of his son, because God cares about his world And so trust that God's hand is at work in natural ways, and yes, in supernatural ways, even when you cannot see him. Be reminded through the angels that God's hand is at work. What about the shepherds? The shepherds show us that God is a savior for all. Who's got the ornament with the shepherds on it? Can you hold that up? There's a few. You got it? Very good. Your arms must be short. There you go. I see it. Okay. Now listen, as many of you know, sheep herding was common in Palestine. In the first century, it was a common occupation, but shepherds were not held in high regard. Shepherds spent their time out in the wilderness, away from the community. It was dirty work, hard work, dangerous work, thankless work. And so it's pretty unexpected that night. After Mary gives birth, that God would send an angel out into a nearby field. It's unexpected that they would be the first ones to hear the news. As we read earlier in Luke 2:10, the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." You have to understand how profound this is, right? This earth-shattering event, something that will be the center of all of history. The Son of the Most High God placed in a manger. A manger's this cool, beautiful Christmas symbol for us. It was just a feeding trough in an ordinary stable. The animals ate out of. The angels hear this. They declare it to the shepherds. The angels are giving glory to God. The shepherds run into Bethlehem to see what's called a sign, to look for Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger, a sign of what kind of Savior he would be. He would be a Savior for all. See, Jesus is not a Savior just for the rich, just for the prominent, just for the powerful members of society. Jesus didn't come just to save the religious elite. The birth of Jesus is good news of great joy for all people. He goes to the shepherds, the working class, out in the fields, the ones who were overlooked. And he says, go look for the feeding trough. Go look for where the donkeys and the cattle and the sheep eat out of. That's where Christ, the Lord of all, will be laid. See, the Son of God came down for you and I. The exact imprint of God's nature came down, Savior, Christ the Lord, for all people, for the shepherds, for the outcasts, for the forgotten. Don't think that you're too high, that you don't need a Savior. None of us are so high that we need a Savior, don't need a Savior. But also, don't think that you're too low, that you're somehow too low for Jesus to reach down to you. He came for all men, for all women, for all people. What about the wise men? The wise men show us a picture of worshiping the king. Who's got the ornament? Three wise men. If you're looking at that, you can see they're on camels. Nothing in the Bible about camels. Actually, nothing in the Bible that there were three wise men. We just deduced that because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There could have been five, could have been two. We don't know. But here's what we do know. They worship the king. The original Greek text calls these wise men magi was the word. It was a formal word. They were foreigners, not Jewish people from the region. They're likely from Babylon or Persia, would have been 1,000 miles away. But these magi were like philosophers and scientists of their day. And they would study the stars, interpret dreams. They would decipher events to find wisdom and determine the future. And they see this star in the sky. And somehow they deduce through astrology or perhaps studying the Jewish prophets, or maybe an angel came to them as well. They deduce the birth of a great king in the land of Judah. And so they go on this journey, and they use the star for navigation for weeks until they arrive at the capital city. And there they learn of the prophecy of Micah about a ruler being born in the little town of Bethlehem, and so they go there to find Mary and the baby. As we read in Matthew's account, the family is now in the house in Bethlehem. See, Jesus is at least several months old at this point, while in the nativity scene, the magi are always there, right, the night of the birth, but they actually weren't there the night of, okay? But that's okay. You can keep your nativity scene up. They arrive at least several months later. Jesus is a small boy at that point, And it says they fall down and they worship him. Look at what it says in Matthew 2. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, something inside of them, they come before the child, something inside of them knew, sensed that they were in the presence of God, and they cannot stay on their feet. They fall down and they worship. These foreigners come from a distant land, worship the king. They pull out these gifts, costly gifts, expensive gifts. They give them to Jesus and his family. They return home. We never hear from these mysterious visitors again, but we know this. In the wise men, we see the call to worship the king. See, while Jesus does fulfill the prophecies of the old covenant, he didn't just come for a small group of people. These mysterious men from the east show us right from the beginning that Jesus is not just a king, he is the king, king of all the world. He is the Son of God who came down for them, for you and I, the king of Israel and the king of kings of all, the one whom rulers bow before, the one whom the stars themselves submit to Jesus on the night he's born. King of kings and Lord of lords. And the call tonight is for you and I to recognize him as the Son of the Most High, to worship him. The call for you and I is to give him the gifts that you have, the most expensive gift, your very life, that you would give it to Christ, just as Christ has given himself as Savior and King to you, the Son of the Most High. We're going to conclude with one final song as the worship team comes. Let's just remember that of all of these characters in the nativity story, Jesus is the central character, amen? He's called Most High God, Savior, King of all people. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of his nature, and that imprint can make an impact on you. How will you be changed? How will you respond? How will your life be different as a result of the work of Christ? Like the wise men, will you make him your king? Will you give your life to him? Like the shepherds, will you look to him and call him Savior? Will you realize you need to be rescued? You need your sins forgiven. Will you call him Savior? Like Joseph, will you obey the Lord God? Will you follow him? Even when it's hard, even when it costs you all that you have, will you obey him? Like Mary, will you submit to God? Will you serve him on whatever path he has in store for you, humbly serving the Lord God, our Savior? As I pray for us, would you stand with me? We're going to sing this old carol, Silent Night. The lights are going to go dim. I invite you to turn your candles on, symbolizing the light of the world that has come for us. Father in heaven, we give thanks tonight. We give thanks for that night so many years ago when the angels sang and the shepherds ran. And Joseph and Mary saw what had been promised to them. We receive tonight Jesus as our Savior, the Son of God, Son of the Most High, your imprint. Father, let our light shine as we hold these candles, as we worship this song. Let us be a light, just as you have shone into our hearts and driven out the darkness. Let us shine as the light of Christ, who is our hope, who is our joy, who is our Savior. Hear our prayer and hear our worship. Thank you, Lord.
Father and child. Spirit.